worship with us on this Palm Sunday heading into Holy Week. We are so glad to be together. If you're a regular here or a member, welcome back. It's always so good to see you. Your shadows darken our doors. And if you're here for the first time today, welcome. We're glad that you decided to join us today. And I'd like to invite everyone's attention, if I may, to the connection card found inside your bulletin. That is an important tool for our ministry here at Trinity. It helps us stay connected. And so we would appreciate it very much if everyone here would take an opportunity to fill that out during the service today and pass that in when the time comes. If you're a regular or a member, just your name and email address will do. And if you're here for the first time, whatever information you're comfortable giving, we would be very, very appreciative. You might want to take note of the panel above the connection card, which shows all of our Holy Week services, and wanted to invite everyone's attention to that. There will be a Monday Thursday service here in the Worship Center at 7 on Thursday, and it will be in the round, much like we started off Lent on Ash Wednesday. Then we have two opportunities for worship on Good Friday. At noon in the chapel, we're going to be having meditations on the seven last words of Christ. And then at 7 here in the Worship Center with the Weeping Tree, a cantata presented by our Worship Arts Department. And, of course, we have Easter Sunday and our four services beginning with 7 o'clock sunrise in the Memorial Garden, 8:15, 9:40, and 11 in here. So we hope to see you all throughout the week during Holy Week. And so we've as I said, we're beginning Holy Week today, and as we go into this Palm Sunday observance today, I want to first participate together in this tradition that we have here at Trinity, and I say to you, welcome home. So this morning, I'd like you to remain seated and enjoy this very humorous introduction to Palm Sunday.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie here to talk to you about something really great, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday that we paint our palms purple to commemorate King Saul talking to that palm reader lady, and then we wave them in the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it
no.
is. What Bible do you read?
Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the crowds put their cloaks and palm branches all over the ground, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David.
What I said.
Okay, now picture this. Jesus' popularity was going viral. I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead in the same community just a few days earlier.
Wait, who's dead Lazarus was maybe at the very first Palm Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
That's so cool. I bet if he was there, he was probably like,
and you're the thriller, Jesus. You raised me from the dead when you said, get up, oh!
Now, to complete all this, Jesus needed a donkey. Now, you'd think that a king or a prince would ride in on a horse, but not Jesus. He knew the message that he wanted to send. You see, a donkey represents peace. Anybody riding a donkey represented peaceful intentions.
Yeah, it says right here in Matthew 21, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get him a donkey.
Yeah.
Wait, I wonder which two he sent.
Maybe Thomas?
I doubt it. I bet he sent Andrew. Andrew would totally do that. And probably Tony. I bet he said Andrew and Tony.
Tony's not a disciple.
Oh, sorry. Tony.
Still not a disciple. What translation of the Bible do you read? Jesus needed a donkey, so he asked two disciples to go get him a donkey. He told them they would find one in town, tied there next to a colt.
Yeah. And then he says, untie them and bring them to me. And if somebody asks you about it, you tell them the Lord needs them?
Yeah. What?
Well, Jesus just told his disciples to go steal a donkey for him.
What Bible do you read? It doesn't say that at all.
I can't figure this out. I mean, Jesus, he changed water into wine. Cool. He fed the 4,000.
He fed the 5,000.
What?
He fed the 5,000.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not the 4th. It's the 5,000.
We're splitting hairs.
Jesus fed a large group of people. And that's cool. He healed people with leprosy. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And then, boom, he's like, hey, guys, go steal me a donkey. I'm just saying. I don't think that's very WWJD.
The significance of Jesus riding on a donkey, which he did not steal, was to fulfill the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9.
I Yeah, but the...
And the king, riding in on a lowly donkey, with his way paved with palm branches. The palm branches symbolize triumph or victory.
The what?
The palm branches.
The branch?
Palm branches, Palm Sunday.
I thought it was the palm. They should call it Branch Sunday, because that's confusing. We all have palms with us all the time. I feel bad.
I'm sorry, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of His passion and the joy of His resurrection. So this week, let's cover the road to the cross with our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we reflect on the final week of Jesus' life.
And let's celebrate in anticipation the return of the King of Kings.
Would you please stand as we begin our worship service with the singing of the opening?
All glory, Lord, and honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, the David's royal son.
God, we gather this morning with a hosanna on our lips, and we do come to bring you all glory and honor. So in this hour of worship, O God, we pray that you speak to us, to change our hearts and lives as we prepare to celebrate your coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. And now would you please join me in this affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
box for not only this week, but next week as well. And I'm particularly excited about this ministry because it is a great mystery now, because it's a wonderful ministry. It's a ministry of restoration for orphans in Africa. And I had the privilege of being able to participate in supporting this ministry back when we were serving at Spring of Life. And through my dance studio, every time we did a recital, a portion of those proceeds went to help these orphans. And they don't just provide a meal. They provide the tools and the resources for these young people to learn how to become food secure, to run a business, to care for their siblings, and to be actively involved in their communities around them. So they are making a huge difference, not only in the individual lives, but in the long-term legacy that these children will leave behind. I encourage you to read more about it in the bulletin. Go online and find out more about the amazing work that this ministry does. And please consider giving generously this week and next week. You can do so at any of the 5 mission boxes that we have at the exit. As we turn our attention to praying and sharing our joys and concerns with the Lord, we want to remember those that we've been visiting in the hospital we have or elsewhere. Let's take a moment of silence to raise our prayers. You can pray for the folks that you see before you, as well as those joys and concerns that you brought with you this morning. Before we go to God and pray together, let's pray. Blessed One, to whom we cry out, Hosanna, who rode into Jerusalem on the anthem of our praise, who healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, and set the captives free. Continue your ministry among us. Heal all who are in need. Comfort those who mourn. Provide for those in need. Protect those who are in harm's way. This morning, we stand at the gate, hesitant and uncertain, reluctant to answer your invitation. We are slow to embark on the journey toward your reign. Forgive us. Grant us the help that we need to be your people, the courage to join you in the procession, and the selflessness to lay down our cloaks before you as we lift up palms celebrating the freedom of your kingdom, honoring who you are, and allowing our lives to reflect your glory. As we do this, may this revelation change us and transform us, restoring every aspect of who we are, making us whole individually and collectively. And may the grace that abounds flow freely in us and through us, filling us with joy as we say together the words that you taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary.
back to Him, from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray together. Lord, as you emptied yourself for others, we now offer ourselves and these financial gifts as a sign of our hope in your reign. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is sorrow, joy. Where there is injustice, bring courage for change.
Time of year as we enter into Holy Week and begin with Palm Sunday. Our scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, one of those traditional readings for this particular day of the Christian year, and I invite you to follow along on the screens or in your Bibles as I read for us from Matthew 21. approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, "Thanks be to God." Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you our hearts and lives. Well, March Madness came to an end this past week, which means that productivity has returned to office places all across America. People can put away their boss buttons and have to wait for another year to try to complete the perfect bracket for the NCAA basketball championship. Isn't it amazing how many people get caught up in the frenzy of March Madness? I read this past week that estimates are somewhere between 40 and 60 million Americans filled out a bracket predicting who would win the games in the NCAA tournament this past week. And many of those folks have absolutely no interest in college basketball, except for when it comes to tournament time. And then everybody loves to jump on board the bandwagon and see if they can predict what will happen, and then watch the games, usually in order to see if their team that they picked to win it, and perhaps win some kind of prize, actually does win it. Everybody loves to pick a winner. Well, today, we turn our attention to a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, and to a story about a time when a crowd gets caught up in a frenzy. It is the time of Passover, that time of year when people from all across the land of Israel gather in Jerusalem in order to celebrate the sacred meal that has been a part of their tradition since their ancestors escaped slavery. Historians estimate that at this time of year in Jesus' time, there would have been about 40,000 people who lived in the city of Jerusalem. But at Passover, about 200,000 more would descend upon the city for the occasion. Sounds a little bit like game day in the fall in Gainesville, doesn't it? This large crowd comes to town in order to participate in this important event and sacred meal as a part of their faith. And in Matthew's gospel, this particular account today tells us, according to Matthew, about the first time Jesus has come to the city of Jerusalem since inaugurating his ministry. It is the only time in those years of his life, at least according to the chronology that Matthew
And so here we are at this important time and this important event. And now Jesus, who many have heard about, some have seen, some have experienced, is coming to town. And so the buzz starts. And a crowd begins to gather on the outskirts of the city, in that part where they've heard that Jesus is going to be entering from. Some gather there who Jesus has healed along the way. Some surely are there who have heard him teach at one time or another. Some are there who have shared a meal with Jesus, because he did a lot of sharing of meals with people. Some are there who are just curious. They've heard about him, and they wonder, who is this man? And so they go out to the edge of the city to see. Many of them have been longing for a long time for Messiah, the one who would come, the king who would come to bring freedom and restore the greatness of Israel before all the nations. All of that in mind, and with all of those people gathered there, perhaps it began with just a single voice. Someone who had been touched by Jesus' ministry, maybe even healed himself. Perhaps he gets so caught up in the emotion of the moment and seeing what is happening, and he shouts out, "Hosanna!" Which literally means, "Save us." And then others follow. Perhaps a second, and then a third. "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And then they all begin to chant, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in that moment, the whole crowd is enacting the promise that they have recited for generations from the 118th Psalm, part of their songbook as a people. The very words, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That psalm that talks about a day when indeed God will come and save God's people. And they all are thinking at this moment, maybe this is it. This is the one. This is the time. After all, it's Passover. It's Jerusalem. It's this man who has been doing things that no one can explain. This is it. And verse 10 tells us that as he enters Jerusalem, the whole city is stirred up. And yet, only 4 days later, the only crowd to be found will be the one shouting, "Crucify him." How could this be? The truth is, they could have seen it coming. There was nothing about Jesus' life and ministry that had ever suggested that he would come as the mighty warrior who would strike down all of Israel's enemies, as some were hoping for and had suggested. They could have seen it coming. In fact, just after that day, earlier in the gospel, when Peter makes his famous confession, "You are the Christ." Remember that? Jesus asked the disciples, who are people saying that I am? And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ." Once that confession has been made, then Jesus begins to talk to the disciples 3 times between then and this entry into Jerusalem. He tells them,
but in Jerusalem he will suffer and die, but on the third day will be raised. They could have seen it coming. Over and over again in his ministry, he talked about what true greatness looks like. That it is not in the one who boasts of his own deeds, it is not in the one who elevates self, but it is the one who humbles himself. They could have seen it coming. The way he disturbed the religious elite with his teachings, those beatitudes, those sayings about where true happiness and blessing are found. Surely that ruffled some feathers, created some discomfort. His twisting, at least in their minds, of the law, when he said to the crowd, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," bringing a new word, a new idea. And then that parable about the lost sheep, what in the world was he saying with that? Why in the world would you pay more attention to those who are lost and who have no place in the temple and leave behind all of those who were good, upstanding citizens? They could have seen it coming. And his willful violation of the Sabbath, his willingness to say it was okay for his disciples to eat and to pluck grain on that day, and worse yet, that he would actually heal somebody on the Sabbath, they could have seen it coming. The people he chose to mingle with, the ones he touched, the ones he healed, could have seen it coming. Oh, he warned his disciples many a time about the risk, about the cost. And then there was his entry into Jerusalem on this day, and his choice of a donkey and a colt to ride in on. This was not at all the animal of choice for a king who would come valiant and mighty, ready to defend the honor of his people. Anyone who says that religion and politics don't mix has not paid close enough attention to this entry that Jesus makes. For he performs an enactment of a scripture of his own in this moment. That passage from Zechariah that speaks of a king who will come very different from any king the world has seen before. In defiance of power that depends on violence and strength, he will come in peace. And so it should have come as no surprise. They could have seen it coming. Today is Palm Sunday. And I wonder, are we sure we realize who it is that we are cheering for? Have we really listened and heard his message clearly? Many get caught up in the frenzy of Jesus. Salvation, the good news. Being a friend of Jesus sounds so nice until we remember that he says, "Follow me." And following is costly. He does not come to indulge our own desires, to fulfill our wishes for a king who will simply endorse the lives that we have already chosen for ourselves. He does not come even to grant us immunity from hardship or suffering or struggle. struggle. He never claimed that that would be the road of blessing. He is the one who comes to make all things new. And this week, we remember that the path to new life must pass through the crucible of death. His death, to be sure, and also the death of all of our misguided ideas about life on our own terms, so that we can receive the best life that only He can offer.
We come to this table and we offer thanks and praise to God, because always and everywhere it's right to give God our thanks and praise. We remember that God created everything that is and created each one of us and loved us so much that even when we turned away, even when we were sinful and were subject to evil and death, God was there with us and for us, reaching out in love to us. And therefore, we stay as people on earth and with all the company of heaven. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Save us, O God. And in the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ to redeem us, and he was willing to empty himself and become a servant to all, even riding into Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. And he offered himself, obedient to God, even to the point of death, death on a cross for our sake. And so, through his baptism and suffering and death, he gave birth to the church. And we come again and offer ourselves. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and he broke that bread, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and poured it, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine and on us gathered here. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. By your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As the servers come forward and come to the altar rail to receive the elements, I invite you to prepare your hearts for communion this morning as you offer to God your brokenness and your sinfulness, and cry out to God to save you, knowing that He has. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, everyone is welcome to come to the table. It's the table of our Lord. So we invite you to come forward, come out the left side of your row, and return to your seats by the right side of your row. We'll begin at the front. You can just remain seated until your row is ready, and then come forward to the seat. We'll hand you a piece of bread, and take that and dip it into the cup, and then return to your seats by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer, and there's gluten-free at the far stations on either side. Please come. Everything's ready.
Thank you.
might go out into the world with courage to live and with courage to give ourselves to others in the way that you have given yourself to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Help us remember Jesus' passion and that crucible of death through which he must pass in order to get us to that place where we celebrate new life. When the next Sunday comes for Easter, and let us rejoice together that indeed Christ is risen. And I encourage you to invite friends and neighbors to come with you. We need to welcome others in who need to hear that good news as well. So think of somebody this week that you can invite to go out now knowing that Christ goes with you. For God, the God of all love and grace and mercy, has come in Christ so that indeed